Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Afghanistan Study Group's information session with Representative Rohrabacher. Your host for today, Steve Clemens, will now begin.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're working in a very narrow time window because the congressman has pending votes ahead, so we're going to move very quickly. I'm Steve Clemens. I help run the American Strategy Program at the New America Foundation and help launch the Afghanistan Study Group. You all know Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. He's serving his 12th term in Congress. He's an outspoken advocate of democracy and human rights. He is the chairman of the Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and he has some thoughts on the Afghanistan war to share, particularly in light of General David Petraeus' comments this week. So, Dana, the floor is yours.
Well, first and foremost, if I'm not a pacifist in any sense of the word, and I have come to the conclusion that, and I have been deeply involved in Afghanistan for 30 years and been there many times. Even before I was a congressman, I was there. And I was, of course, deeply involved in the effort after the Russians left. During the Russians, while they were there, I was very involved in trying to help those Mujahideen who were fighting the Russians after they left. I was very involved with Commander Massoud and others, Dostum Ismail Khan, etc., Abdul Haq, who were fighting who were trying to have a coalition against the Taliban. And I was running around for months and years trying to get some support for the anti-Taliban coalition, which after 9/11 became the Northern Alliance. I think it's incumbent for us all to remember that we did not defeat the Taliban, and we certainly didn't drive the Russians out of Afghanistan. It was the militia forces in Afghanistan, made up of Afghans, that drove the Russians out, and it was the militia forces of the Northern Alliance that drove the Taliban out. Of course, they did have our air support at the time. So what I've come to the conclusion of is now we have evolved into a whole different mission since the Taliban were driven out. And our mission now has become to force a centralized government as envisioned by our State Department onto the people of Afghanistan. And slowly but surely, that the conflict has become about that. And we cannot win at that. We will never be able to take these brave people who have fought invaders forever. And thus, I think we cannot succeed in defeating these brave people and forcing them to accept a centralized government, which in and of itself is a questionable goal, that it certainly is immoral for us to be sending our troops over there and putting them at risk and seeing even more hundreds of them give up their lives or give up parts of their body and for a mission that can't be won. And so with that said, I'll be very happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you so much, Congressman Rohrabacher. And this is Steve Clemens. I'm just going to launch one real quickly. How resonant do you think this is among other members of your caucus? I know that Haley Barbour came out expressing his now opposition, really, to the course that we've set in Afghanistan. We're spending $119 billion in FY 2011 in a country with $14 billion of GDP. And I'm wondering if you're beginning to see a shift, or we're, you know, basically just seeing unrelated episodes of people shifting to where you've been for quite a while.
Well, I can't really comment too much on my fellow Republicans. I do see a disconnect in the logic. I listened to the debate. I not only participated in the debate, but I listened carefully, and I couldn't find a real excuse that they were giving for having this major military operation going on in Afghanistan. Obviously, the people who flew the planes into the buildings at 9/11, almost all of them were Saudis. And, of course, Saudi Arabia is just as radical Islamic as is the Taliban. And none of them that I saw, I listened to the argument. I couldn't figure out what they think the objective is. What is victory there? And if it's not, it seems to me they're just talking about having everybody in the country just agree to participate in supporting Karzai's government. And that, of course, is nonsensical for as a goal for American troops overseas.
Sure.
So I don't know. It seems to me that the Republicans who have this gut response to whenever the U.S. military is involved in an action, they feel they have to be supportive or they are in some way less patriotic. I think that they've got to get over that that pre-inclination on their part.
Thank you. Let's open the floor, operator. And if Pete Dominic is on the line and posing a question, let's do it because I know he was under a very tight deadline.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have any questions, please press the number one key on your phone. Again, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key on your phone. Our first question comes from Pete Dominic. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you. Congressman, thank you for doing this today. You were on my program a couple weeks ago. I just have a question that I think a lot of Americans people have, and staying just on the issue of cost. When we're talking about military action in Libya or any part of the world, how much do those of you in Congress think about the cost that it will be? What kind of actuarial scales and statistics and past armed conflicts on the cost for health care, you know, that we'll need to pay for the rest of their lives?
Okay, you said those of you in Congress, which makes that a personal thing. So I will have to say that I think my views quite often do not reflect big chunks of Republicans or Democrats. I'm out there on my own in terms of how I come to conclusions quite often. But in terms of cost, that's something that for whatever reason, the Republicans seem to not put that into the equation when talking about military actions. And I think that's a legitimate complaint by Democrats that Republicans, if we're going to balance the budget and we're going to start howling about a $50 million expenditure for some radio station or something, but yet we just let this go by for billions of dollars worth of expenditure without having any guarantee of success, well, then I think that's a legitimate criticism of Republicans. And, of course, I think that with Democrats, my criticism is they'll spend money on anything except defense. And but with me, this just makes no sense. The surge itself, 30,000 people that Petraeus convinced us to send in there a year ago, that surge costs an extra $30 billion a year. And with that $30 billion a year, I reminded people for $3 billion a year, we could bribe every local chief and village leader in that country. And then we could exit with our heads held high saying that we'd won, which is basically what happened at the end of the Iraq War.
Thank you, Congressman. Good to talk to you again.
Hello?
Yes. Operator?
Our next question comes from Tim Dickinson. Please go ahead.
Well, Congressman, thanks for taking the call. I was just curious. I mean, we have the stated objectives of being there and then obviously some unstated objectives in terms of being able to project force into Pakistan and into Iran if necessary. I just wonder if you can address sort of the undertones of our foreign policy.
I think an ongoing effort in Afghanistan with a mission that one cannot succeed in through military action weakens us tremendously in dealing with the other challenges in the region. If we're stuck in Afghanistan, this is going to embolden the Iranians, and much more than, by the way, if we simply made sure that we paid off various tribal leaders and got out, which is the other alternative. So
is that your alternative suggestion?
I think the alternative thing that we should do, the alternative policy from what we have now, which is having our troops battle out all of the village leaders and tribal leaders to try to force them into accepting a centralized government under Karzai. I think that's the only other alternative to that is basically going to those tribal leaders saying, we recognize the tribal system here, and one by one telling them, we don't want you to be hostile to the United States and buying their loyalty for a year or two. That's much cheaper than sending troops into their area and thinking that we're going to browbeat them or intimidate them into accepting Karzai and his government.
Great. Next call.
Our next question comes from Derek Crow. Please go ahead.
Hi, Congressman. I had a question as to whether you had seen any proposals in Congress from any of your colleagues that had promise as to ending the Afghanistan war so far.
Have we seen it? Well, we have the one we're voting on now, which is today is the Kucinich plan that will facilitate and speed up the process of withdrawing from Afghanistan. And in fact, in about 5 minutes from now, I will be rushing to the floor to vote for that. And I will be voting yes on the Kucinich plan.
Is that the first time you've ever voted yes on a Kucinich plan? I'm just joking.
I think 98% of the time I'm on the other side, but there is this one little area of agreement.
That's great. Operator, next call, please.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number 1 key on your phone. There are no questions at this time.
Great. Well, right. The congressman is in a tight schedule. Congressman Rohrabacher, thank you so much for spending time with us. These were great insights. We've recorded this call, and we'll make it available publicly. Thanks for everyone for joining us. And for those of you looking for more information on the Afghanistan Study Group's report called A New Way Forward, just go to AfghanistanStudyGroup.org. And again, Dana, thank you so much.
All right.